thank you again for your presence. We enter your word now with reverence, fully aware of the limitations of our natural minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that is compressed into this written word. We therefore need the supernatural help, fresh anointing and unction from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver this word, that I will do it with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual life, agree with me and said, amen. This afternoon, I have a very important message I want to share with us. I had another message I wanted to minister. As I got up this morning and as I was praying, the Lord said to me, he said, this is important now. I'm going to preach the other message too, but maybe in a few weeks' time. This message, I have entitled it, Overcoming Temptation. There's been and there is a great attack going on in the body of Christ. And many Christians are, and that's why the Holy Spirit, I believe, said, this is very important. These are some things, if you're in this church, you know already. But like Peter said, he said, I would not be negligent to put you into remembrance of these things, even though you know them. And even I myself, as I was preparing it, many things came to me again afresh. See, revelation and the knowledge of God is to be fresh, daily, and continuous. In other words, you see more light. Same thing, but you see it with greater clarity and understanding. And there's a lot going on in the air around us today in the church. And I believe it's a satanic strategy to drag the church down into sin and a lot of unsavory things that will become, not only will it be bring a bad name, the Bible says that the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of the things that are done in the church, but probably more strategically for Satan, a great distraction from the purpose of God for this hour. We're living in a time in which our focus in the church now should be on perfecting, growing to perfection, and manifesting the glory of God. We're not supposed to be bogged down by moral issues. But alas, alas, sadly, that's the situation today. And as I thought about some of these things, it came to me, the Holy Spirit speaking to me early in the early hours of this morning. Say, take your pen and write. Many, many of God's people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. They just don't know. And Satan is having a field day doing what he likes. And so the purpose of this message is to bring revelation knowledge, not legalistic moral exhortation. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. That's exactly what most people do. Legalistic moral exhortation. The motive may be right. Oh, don't do this. Oh, it's very bad. Oh, this. Oh, this is, how can? In the house of God. Yeah. And all that is not wrong. But if you give me moralistic, legalistic exhortation, and it's not even instruction, it's most of it's just exhortation. Oh, don't do this. Oh, don't do that. Oh, this should not be heard of in the house of God. No. Don't do this. This is terrible. And all that is right. What I'm saying? But how are you going to help them? How do we not get into it? How do we live above it? The Apostle Paul said something. I think he was writing to the church at Corinth. There was this immorality that was going on inside the church. A young man, obviously, was having an affair with his father's wife. Obviously, it was not his mother. Maybe his dad had married another woman who was probably not too much older than him. And this terrible thing was going on. And you know what Paul said? He said, not even as mentioned among the Gentiles. And Paul was really, really angry with them. He loved them. Corinth Church was one of these churches God used him to start. He said, what? What? Did the word of God come from you? It's only you that it came. And that kind of indignation is very much justified. But we must go beyond indignation and give revelation knowledge, instruction, so people will know what to do. They will understand what is happening. And then they will intelligently, spiritually speaking now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, learn to overcome temptation. Turn with me first in your Bible to James chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 13. God is going to have mercy. He's going to help me this afternoon. This is an urgent message. It's urgent. James chapter 1. This is James speaking, the Holy Spirit rather, speaking through James to us, the church. Say, let no man say, I didn't hear you folks, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. But every man, no exceptions. This is a universal spiritual law. When he is tempted, when he is what? Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The word enticed there is extremely instructive. When you want to entice somebody, you make what you are trying to project to the person, you make it attractive. When it's attractive, then it entices. It means to draw the person. And this is what Lucifer does. It didn't start, yesterday. It's been around a long time. In fact, the Garden of Eden, that's what happened. He said, Eve looked at something. And he said, she saw that it was good to be eaten. And a fruit to be desired. So she was enticed. And we know the sad story. Next verse, 15. Then when lust hath conceived, I didn't hear you, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I call this verse the evolution of sin. Don't mind them. Evolution just means change. It's not that there's no God. we often attach the word evolution to, it just means you can see how things change. Everybody say lust, sin, death. Everybody say lust, sin, death. When Satan is enticing you, he doesn't tell you about the death. He just makes the lust as if it's something to be greatly desired. I think it was Gloria Copeland that wrote this many years ago. I read it in one of her books and it stayed with me all over the years. Lust is a desire inconsistent with the will of God. Now, I added to that over the years by revelation, and I added at that time. For instance, when you're fasting, the desire to eat now becomes a lust, because during that time of fasting, you're not supposed to eat. So that's why I put the rider at that time. A lust is a desire, and many times it can be very strong. It's something you want, but once it's not in line with the will of God, then that desire is what is called lust. For instance, sex is okay in a marriage situation, but when it's not, when you're not married to the person and there's that desire, then in that case it becomes a lust. Even in a marriage situation where you're supposed to be giving time for fasting and prayer, if you don't do it during the fasting and prayer, then in that situation it becomes a lust. So you've got to learn to deal with it. Now, if you look at this evolution, if you look at this, the way this thing operates, this is what I want to bring, revelation knowledge, not just indignant moral exhortation. You can see that it does not become sin until it conceives. So the lust itself is not a sin. So, what must I learn to do as a Christian? I must learn to kill the lust before it conceives. It's called crucifying the flesh with its affections and lusts. It doesn't mean, not having a desire and all that. It just means keeping it under control. It means killing it so that it does not conceive sin, which in turn will bring death. So if I can learn, and that's what I'm going to share with you this afternoon, how to recognize the thing when it comes as a lust, and what I need to do spiritually to crucify it, to kill it, it will never become a sin. Then I have overcome the temptation. Remember, look at the evolution. Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. For God hasn't tempted any man, and God does not tempt any man with evil. But when a man is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust. Now that statement is true, but we need to expatiate on it. And to do that, we go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and look. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In order to get what the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul here, you've got to think of the course of a river. So it says you walk according to the course. In other words, you're flowing with the world. According, now he explains that this thing is a spiritual thing. According to the prince of the what? Power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's talking about a spiritual force that is operating inside the air. Now watch this, verse 3. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had. In other words, the fact that you're a Christian does not exempt you. Hello, somebody. Now you've been delivered from sin in terms of you're born again and all of that, but you're still in this world. So you're still subject to those same forces. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now, this is what happens. Brother Bimbo, put that illustration on the... There's this illustration we use now to teach life scriptures during intercessory school, but I want to use it in this context now to teach us. Good. Just hold it. Hold the movie. Just hold it there. You know, I'll tell you when to move it. No, you haven't got the new one. There's a new one that needed... I'm sure he must have sent it to you. That shows the forces from the air. Put the new one up. Take this one off. But let me just explain to you. There are spiritual forces that are in the air. All around you. And they are constantly bombarding your mind, your will, and your emotions. Constantly. Now, because you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit and the life of God inside you, you have the ability, you have the strength to be able to effectively resist those things and overcome them. But to do that, you must know what to do. And then you must go a step beyond knowing, you must do it. And that's what I want to share with us this afternoon. You must understand what is happening. And then, so when it's happening, you are aware. See, many times when some of these are happening, people are not aware. The only focus is on the lust. Or what they desire. They're not conscious of the fact that there's somebody from the outside and there's something that's happening. You know, when you see it like that, then you treat it as an enemy, and then you take the necessary spiritual actions in order to defeat it. But when you're just obsessed with the object of the desire, then you're totally oblivious to the fact that there's an enemy and there's a nature inside you that's allowing that thing to happen, and then that wants to allow that thing to happen, and then you don't do anything about it. And it's that consciousness, that spiritual consciousness, that by the grace and the mercy of God, I want to bring to us this. I said remove this one and get the new one that has this thing. If you don't have it, then take this one off. You know? And so, I think that's, I don't know if this is a new one. Just work on it up there. Now, what happens is this. I'll try and illustrate, but if you say pictorial representation, it really helps your mind, so you'll know what's going on. You got this. You get born again, the nature of God is not in your spirit. But in the up here, in the soul, you've got little bits and pieces of the sin nature. And In addition to that, you've got the spiritual forces from the air. The Bible calls it the prince of the power of the air. That impinges, that is incident, that bombards the soul and the body, trying to make them feel the wrong things, desire the wrong things. It's not you. The real you has been born again. The Bible calls it the new man. But the outer man, the soul and the body, still have some of the sin nature inside it. So that part of you, the soul and the body, the real you is spirit. You're a spirit. Is attracted to those things. Now the good news is this. If you use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you in a few minutes, practically now, you can actually overcome that thing, push it out. Not only that, you can retrain your mind and your body so that your mind and your body stop finding those things attractive. And you can push them away. And then, not only that, this is where Revelation comes in, you're able, when the thing comes, you see through it. You don't only see the desire, you see the death, you see the sin, you see the death, you see what it's going to cause, and therefore it's no longer attractive. So long as your attention is only on the desire, and you do not have the spiritual x-ray, if I can use that expression, it's called revelation. If you don't see beyond the desire and see the death, you see the sin and the death that is behind it, it continues to look attractive. So, good. Right. Now, this illustration, this is a schematic illustration of our connection with the body of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. The diagram on the left, on my left, on my left if I'm facing you, my right if I'm facing here. This one here is just an illustration of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, Christ is the vine. Well, those are relevant scriptures. And then this is magnifying one person, one member of the body of Christ. You are a branch. Now, you are connected to the body of Christ, and you are also connected to Jesus. You can see the connection to Jesus is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, this yellow thing inside is the life of God. On top there, where you see the white, that's the soul. And you can see a little bit of black inside the soul. That represents the remnant of the sin nature that has not yet been removed. The black arrows you see on the outside are the power of sin in the air, what I was talking about. And this is the reality of what we are facing daily. Now, the good news is this. It is not difficult when you have the understanding to overcome this thing. It just requires two or three very important things. One, honesty. Two, the grace and the mercy of God, of course, operating in the background. Diligence. Just a little bit of, when I say diligence, now, applying constant, concentrated, and well-directed effort. I'll explain as I go on. I've discovered that the Bible is true. I know it's true, irrespective of me. But I personally, by the grace and the mercy of God, by my own personal experience and work of God, I have come to see that it is actually true. That God, there is nothing God has said that is not true. It's really true. There are two scriptures I want to share with you that will really bless you. And I don't know, you know, there's a lot that's going on in social media. People are having all kinds of problems, all that. I don't know, people involved with that. That's not even important to me. It's important in the sense that, you know, I love people and I want God to help them and bless them and restore them, you know, whichever way things go. But you see, the most important thing here is this. You want to know that God is a good God. And He has not asked us to do what we cannot do. No. When we fall into things we shouldn't fall into, it's because we didn't follow the instruction manual. There is an instruction, that's right in your lap, that Bible. It's an instruction. It's more than a storybook. It's an instruction manual for spiritual operation. And when you do it the way man tells you to do it, you will get a result. Hello, somebody. Now, what you need to understand is this. I discovered this. The Bible is true. His commandments are not grievous. They are not. They are not. Everybody open your mouth and say, His commandments are not grievous. He says, His commandments are not grievous. In Deuteronomy, talking about the same thing, when he gave it to Moses, he said, this word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Then he went on to say, he said, it's not too hard. He said, it's not in heaven that you have to go up to heaven to go and get it. It's not beyond the sea. So if we're not doing this, God, we're not obeying the instruction. And you know, you very well say, you know, like Miss Sandra, during the play. And that was very good. Very, very good acting there. You know, the flesh is weak, the flesh is weak. It's not true. Well, it's true. But the only reason why the flesh is weak is because you allowed it, you know, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. I know Jesus said that, but what he meant is that the weakness you have comes through the sin nature in your flesh. And if you learn to deal with it, you can get your flesh to cooperate with you. And it's no longer a tenable excuse for the born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Why? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, not will, has, past tense, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Activated. That's the problem. You're not activating it. And then you now say, oh, the flesh overcame me. It's just the flesh, it's the devil. I know it's the flesh and it's the devil. I'm not denying that. But, you know, you can overcome them. Does it not say you are of God, little children, and have overcome them? Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Bible says, as it's one of the scriptures I'm going to preach on as I go on, that no temptation that is not common to man. And then he said, God is faithful. Everybody scream it. One more time. One last time. You see, if temptation overcomes you, you cannot say God was not faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are. If the thing came, you can overcome it. That's great news. Thank you, Mommy. If the thing, once it has hit, it means you can overcome it. Because God will not allow it to hit if you cannot overcome it. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. That was a way of escape. You know the problem? Most Christians do not know the way of escape. They don't have the wisdom of knowing the way of escape, and then sometimes they know and then they don't take it. This is the way of escape you have to go through. If you don't walk the way of escape, then you won't escape. You escape in Jesus' name. We like that. You know, the God told me that all that indignant moral exhortation, you know, everybody shouting, it's true. You know, but what are we going to do about it? And God forbid that more people should start falling. That's the reason for this message. And I want this thing on YouTube, television, everywhere. I don't come from a condemnation point of view. I certainly don't approve of sin. Certainly not. But like Jesus, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus now, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what I want to teach you. Amen. So you don't walk after the flesh. You don't have to walk after the flesh. Now, if you have and you've fallen, God will help you. We don't approve of sin, but certainly at the same time, we don't want anybody destroyed. That's not the will of God. I'm getting a little bit of my head myself, but two incidents happened in the late 1980s. This is over 30 years ago. Some of you were not born. My wife will remember, Pastor Puega will remember. Some of you may not remember because maybe you were not even born again at that time. Two powerful men of God. Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. I use them as an example because today they are standing. Amen. Let's give God the glory. We're just listening to one Jim Baker's show on my YouTube just a few days ago. Mommy and I were coming. Somebody was teaching about it. It's the same Jim Baker. To God, I don't want to go into all the nasty things that happened. But what happened, it was Jim Baker first, then Jimmy Swaggart. You know, it was 1987, if I remember rightly. And, you know, they had this big, Jim Baker had this big ministry, PTL, Praise the Lord, you know, and he was a great man, and he was making a lot of money, wasn't very honest about the money, you know, in one area. Then he had this secretary, and then we had an affair with her, and the whole thing came out, and, it just messed up the body of Christ. So many people, all these preachers are all thieves and immoral people, which is not true. There are a lot of good, honest ones, you know. But I can understand because he had such great influence. It was one of the biggest TV ministries at that time. You know. Now, sadly, people like Jimmy Swaggart and others came out and condemned him. In fact, I remember Jimmy Swaggart said that he's a cancer that must be cut out of the body of Christ. It was not 6 months. That's why when men of God fall, or something happens to them, do not delight. And your mouth should not be the megaphone. Even I'm not saying what I did is right. Pray for them. And let it be genuine. Think of them as if he was my brother. How will I handle it? And if it's a girl, if it's on the other side of the woman, if it was my sister, that's how you should treat them. The Bible says, he that is glad at calamities, he says he will not escape his punishment. That's what happened to Jimmy Swaggart, sadly. Condemn the man. Yeah, that is a cancer, blah, blah, blah. And so many other preachers did the same thing. And the same is happening now. Man, what the man did was not good, and nobody can ever approve of it. But right on the other hand, we need to go to the root causes. What's going on here? And how come pastors and Christians are doing abominable things like this? And this is what I'm teaching. That's why God said I should teach this message. You know. So Jimmy Swaggart criticized him. Jimmy Swaggart was going out with prostitutes. Prostitutes! Prostitutes. He too was uncovered. So both of them lost their ministries. They had to step down for some months. But I want to say the good part of the story. Jim Baker, he went through a lot. And let me tell you something, brother, sister, whoever. That's one of the reasons why you should see beyond the desire. And see the sin and see the death. So you don't solve it. If you get involved in these kind of things and it happens to be true, there is a chastening. You can't escape it. The chastening, it says, every sin and transgression received a just recompense. Jesus has paid the price for our sin. You will not go to hell.
That is, if you're still in Christ and you don't turn your back, but you will be chastened. It is certain. Know it. Because when you know it, there's somebody says the fear of God leads men to repentance. When you know it, there is something about knowing that there is going to be a chastening and a severe one that makes you a little bit more careful. There's this wrong understanding of grace. And I'm a preacher of grace and mercy. Oh, when New Testament and God loves us and it doesn't matter what you do, when God forgives you, there's grace and grace will cover you. It's only half the truth. Don't shortchange it. What Pastor Jay was preaching this morning, that's shortchanging the truth. It is true there is grace. It is true there is mercy. But the mercy and grace does not exclude the chastening. In fact, it is the mercy and grace that bring the chastening. So you will not go to hell. So don't let anybody ever preach to you that it doesn't matter if you do it, God will forgive you and the grace of God will just cover it. It's not like that. Yes, the grace of God will cover as far as going to hell is concerned. But when it comes to this life, there will be a chastening. Jim Baker went through the chastening. His wife left him. True story. Not only did she leave him, she married his friend. But you haven't heard the rest of the story yet. While he was in prison, Jim Baker went to prison because of the financial impropriety in his ministry. He was in prison for years. It wasn't 2 weeks. He went to prison. His wife left him. His wife had married his friend, who was a supposed friend, where they were all friends and all of that. While he was in jail, he thought he was going to die, but he didn't die. God had mercy on him. In jail, like Manasseh, he came to himself. And then he genuinely repented. Genuinely. He even came out and went on television and told people all the things that they did that they shouldn't have done and how sorry he was. The body of Christ forgave him. Everybody give a clap offering for Kenneth Hagin. Thank God. I was at a meeting where I think it was Jim Baker that came up, one of them, and Kenneth Hagin called him to the front, put his hand around him, said, he's made a mistake, he's fallen, but he's still our brother. And we have to help him. You know what happened? The wife that married the friend, she died. The friend died. Jim Baker now remarried. He's alive and his ministry is now flourishing. But you don't want to go through that. Your wife will not die. Amen. Your husband will not die. Amen. You will not go to jail. Amen. Why go through all of that if you can avoid it? And you say, well, God forgave Jim Baker. Yes, he forgave Jim Baker, but look at what he suffered. Jim Swaggart, the same thing. Lost it. In fact, Jim Swaggart almost committed suicide. He was so distraught. He was driving his car and he wanted to drive it over the cliff. He would have just gone to hell. He said, but the Holy Spirit, give the Lord a clap of praise. We have a good, the God we serve is a good God. The Holy Spirit whispered to him and said, there is no need for you to go to hell. Don't do it. Put the car back on the road. Suffered all the things. His ministry is back. It's not as it used to be. But he's back. He's still on television. He still preaches. People still invite him. Some of their old friends like Kenneth Hagin and some people, they will invite them. They will encourage them and all of that. But you don't want to go through that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Everybody scream it.
I'm going to say it again. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't try it. Don't try it. Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, they survived. But they're not the men they used to be. God's had mercy on them. They're not dead yet. They didn't die. But you don't want to go through that. So let's learn what we should learn. And remember the mistake of Swaggart. When one man falls, don't you rejoice and open your big mouth and say, "Don't mind him, I don't know. It may be you next week." You know something I've discovered about God? Is God hates hypocrisy. And he hates holier than thou. A guy is stumbling and you're rejoicing. What should you do? Pray. See how God can have mercy and help them. If they have to go through their chastening, they'll go through their chastening. But that's not a source of joy to you. You're supposed to said, if any man of be overtaken in a sin, say, ye that are spiritual, he said, restore them. What? In a spirit of meekness. But the scripture doesn't end there. Considering yourself less. And you know the bad thing is that, you know, because that's what happened, that's why I use these two examples of Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker. You know, some of the people who are shouting the loudest have the same problem. It's just not been exposed. Hello, Aisha Anuwal. Now, let me quickly, because I got to run and finish. Give me the illustration back. Thank you, Jesus. Good. So this is, we're going to start the movie in a minute. I'll tell you when to start and stop. You know, this is under normal conditions. You're born again. The life of God is represented by the yellow that is inside you. The sin, the soul is the white. A little bit of sin is still inside. That's why you are tempted. That's why the flesh lost against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. Because of that little black thing up there. From the air, the spiritual forces are coming, you know, adultery, fornication, pride, greed, all these negative things. It's from the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. And if you allow this life of God that is inside you, and you allow it to flow up with force, those things from the outside cannot enter. They only enter when what is inside here goes down. Now, show what happens when sin happens. Let the movie run. That when sin happens, you can see those spiritual forces are coming against the man. They're coming against the bad. Coming against the man. They come, and then sadly, he sins. That sin is represented by that black that is coming. It begins to increase. Stop the movie. I want to say something. Do you notice something here? We're going to show the blood of Jesus in a minute, but I just want to show something. Can you see that it was coming in measures? If he did something quickly, he could have stopped it. Now here, you're seeing this black thing that is completely blocking the connection between him and Jesus and him and the rest of the body. Now, this thing could be half. It doesn't necessarily have to be whole. It could be half, it could be one quarter. So, the life of God will still be coming, but it will not be coming properly. Hello, somebody. You need to understand that. But whether it's half, whether it's one quarter, whether it's full like this, this one is complete block. So the life of God can no longer flow into him. That condition will continue unless he repents and confesses his sin. That's why you need to have this cleansing of the blood of Jesus, confessing us on a regular basis. Now, let the movie roll. if he confesses his sin, we're going to see that in a minute, you will see, stop. Can you see, just before the blood comes, can you see, it's dark now. The measure of the life of God inside him has gone down. So everything up there is dark. Everything down here is dark. He's not a sinner. There's still some life inside there. But there's not enough now to deal with it. You know the sad thing? A lot of Christians live like this. And this is when you say, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. How won't it be weak? The measure of the life of God in him is so tiny. It's there, but because of the sin and not dealing with the sin on time. Time is everything. Time is everything. He that covereth his sin will not prosper. But he that confesses, doesn't stop there, and forsakes will receive mercy. The quicker you confess and forsake, the less the effect of the sin, the less the effect, the effect of reducing the life of God inside you. See, the man who was so yellow before, he's now looking like an unbeliever. He's a Christian. But a lot of what is inside him is dark. Scripture. He said, take heed lest the light that becomes inside thee become darkness. Luke 11, chapter 33. If it could not be, he would say, take heed. He said, the light of the body is the eye. If thy eye is single, the whole body is full of light. He said, but if thy eye is evil, then the body is full of darkness. He said, take heed. So it can happen. I'm preaching this thing from a revelation knowledge point of view. Not just moralistic exhortation full of indignation that will not produce any result. That was what Jimmy Swaggart did to Jim Baker. So how do we solve the problem? So let the blood flow. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering. See how... Stop. See how it removed that black thing. That's what happens every time you confess your sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Watch this. And to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Can you see? There is no black thing left there. All of it. His right standing has been restored. Now, move the movie. See, the life of God is flowing back. See. That's why there's life scriptures. Can you see how the thing just, the measure just increased and increased and increased? Stop it. This isn't just a movie. It's reality. It's just a schematic reality. But that's what's happening. And Christians every day are going through these phases. It's called life of God. He sins. He's not honest about it. He doesn't deal with it. The thing comes and the blackness comes up. Sometimes people stay like that for 2 weeks. Some stay like that for months. Some stay like that for years. Sometimes that black thing is not the full thing. It's half. Or it's one quarter. He's praying, but the amount of life that is flowing is small. So he has life, but so there are some challenges he cannot face. There are some temptations he cannot overcome. Not because God has not made it available, but because he didn't take advantage of what God made available. Because God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. So you want to ask the question, how come then some Christians, or in fact many Christians, are being overcome by the temptations? Is it because God was not faithful? No, they didn't take the way of escape.
Is it clear? Now, let me move very quickly. Is this thing helping anybody? There's a lot of junk that's going on. It's all over the social media. It's all over. And God says, he said, teach it from revelation knowledge point of view. Let them see. When they see and have a picture, then they'll be able to understand. And then they know what to do. Then they do it. And then God will help them. We don't want Christians falling. We don't want pastors falling. The job we have is too much in front of us. It's an unnecessary distraction. And a shame on the body. And I do not say that from a condemnatory point of view. I'm like Jesus. By the grace and the mercy of God, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. When I see somebody, I want to help them. Doesn't mean I approve of what they did. But I say, look, whatever we can get across, and if they can have understanding, then God can help them. And I'm not going to stand on a moral high horse and condemn people, man or woman. And you know, the funny thing about it is that in many cases, the fault is on both sides. Another message for another day. So, Pastor Boye has already preached this. I'm just going to hit it running. We are living, the reason for this message is that we are living in perilous times. You don't need a prophet to tell you that. Iniquity is abounding, according to Matthew chapter 24. But, and I put the "but" in capital letters in my notes, grace is much more abounding. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's this message. It's true. There's a lot of sinners, but the grace of God that we have is abounding through knowledge, through humility. Grace is abounding. If you have abounding grace, you will overcome abounding iniquity. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you have abounding grace, you will overcome the abounding iniquity. So don't let the abounding iniquity faz you. Don't let it disturb you. Yeah. Abounding grace is abounding, but abounding grace comes with increased humility and knowledge. See, grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge. That's what I'm giving you now. So the devil doesn't, thank you, Bimbo. He doesn't need to be able to just come around and just kick you all over the whole place. Every little temptation, just throw this your way and you fall. Throw this one your way, you fall. Throw this one your way, you fall. It should not be. But it's happening because I believe that many times, I'm not saying this is all the time, but many times, the people who love God, they too don't want to sin. Satan just sets them up. And the typical example is David. That's why God recorded that thing in the Bible. The weekly Rhema of today was the cloud of witnesses. So instructive. Pastor Wally, thank you. Give Pastor Wally and Pastor Laolu a clap offering. And there's another sister who's helping them. I thought, this is so apt. They didn't know what I was going to preach. I said, this is so... That's why David's story is recorded. It's to encourage us. He said that we, through the patience of scriptures, might have hope. Nobody, God himself wrote it, nobody can deny that David loved God. A man after God's own heart. Yet, look at what happened to David. You know what? He was careless. There was just a window of time. In the time when kings ought to go to battle. You see, when you start reading Bathsheba, you're not go to the root. Don't. Bathsheba is just a buy something. You know, there was a problem. David was not where he should have been spiritually. He was in a low, he was the way where that thing is dark. He had the life of God, but it wasn't much. So instead of him to follow his troops to battle, he stayed back in Jerusalem. You know what that is today? When you're supposed to be in church, where the troops are fighting. Yeah. Today is spiritual warfare. We're all here at intercessory school, praying and groaning. You stay at home. Your wife is not there. Hello? Then you see what you don't see. Mr. Juelo. and then do what you shouldn't do. Because you are, watch this, you are already spiritually weak. And Satan knew. I've preached this many times over the years. It was a chance thing. David was at home. The troops were in the field. They were fighting. He takes a leisurely stroll on his balcony in the cool of the evening. Okolobateguni. He just went to get the breeze. It's true. David didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to commit adultery today and finish my life. The last thing on his mind was adultery. He wasn't thinking of that. He just wanted to relax at home and just take it easy and all of that. You know, he gets on the roof, and as he's walking, because in those days, you know, the houses were not like today. You know, some of them didn't have roofs and all of that. As he's on the roof, his eyes just come on Bathsheba while she's having her bath. Now, to understand this, I'm going to talk about prayer in a minute and close. You know, if he had gone 5 minutes later, he wouldn't have seen her. If he had gone 5 minutes earlier, he wouldn't have seen her.
Yes, sir.
How come he went while she was still bathing? An enemy has done this. He was set up. It was satanic coordination. The thought, and the thought was not the thought of adultery. The thought was thought of relaxation. Go and get some breeze upstairs. You see, that's why when you learn to walk in the spirit, you will know when some signals are coming from the devil, even though they look innocent. Go upstairs and just get some fresh air. I've been sitting in this place so that it was at that time, and Satan knew. And he knew David was in a weak position spiritually. So once his eyes saw what his eyes shouldn't see, and that thing from the air hit his body, hit his mind, everything went downhill from there. But there's another part of that story. You know, I'm going to help myself. I'll wrap it all up when I talk about prayer and all of that. And the story is Bathsheba. She was not innocent. You're somebody's wife. I know it's the king who sent for you. Fine. Go to the palace. Enter my room. What for, sir? She didn't have to. If she had said no, it would not have happened. He couldn't force her even in the palace. There's a scripture I'm going to share with her, but I'm getting ahead of myself. If he came to the wall, she would shout. Ah! Immediately she shouts, David says, shout, my lord. You know it's in the Bible? It's in Deuteronomy chapter 22. The Bible says that if a girl goes into the field, if she's in the city, Deuteronomy 22. I'll give you the, you know, look for it, those of you who know your Bible well. You know, it's 22, I'm sure of that. I don't remember the exact word. He says, if she's inside the city, you know, and a man forces her to sleep with him, he said that both of them should be stoned to die. He said, because she did not shout. Thank you. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto her husband, and a man find her in a city and lie with her, verse 24, you shall bring them both. She's not innocent. Unto the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones, and they die. The damsel, because she cried not. So the fault was not all David's alone. David had 90% of the fault. But if Bathsheba had said no, it wouldn't have happened. Madalon. But she was another, even if she was just a young girl who was not married, understandable. But she had a husband. And your husband was at the war front. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Next verse. He said, but if a man finds her in the field, and forces her, he said, the man only shall die. Because she cried and there was nobody to help her. Everybody give the Lord a clap of praise. God is a just God, dude.
God is a righteous God, brethren. God is a righteous God. It didn't have to happen. Bathsheba should have said no. It's one thing to go to the palace. It's one thing to be in the sitting room. King is sending for you. Send for you. Yeah. Excuse her. What do you want me to do for you this evening? Is it a message from my husband? You know, that's the kind of thing. The normal thing was, my husband is, maybe something has happened though. That's why the king. And then the king just laughs and, you know, what if I see Barrett, Mobiton law. You know, I was just talking things that's of no point. The next, he said, come to my room, come to her. What for, sir? No, sir. You still be saying this, sir. This, sir. This, sir. But this, sir, is with no. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's what happened. It's very sad. But God recorded it for us. Now, let's quickly go. I've dealt with all of this. I'm just going to hit 2-3 scriptures, and God will help me to close. Number one, look at the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I've said that. You know, and I've talked about, let's go to Romans chapter 8. You see, this is a spiritual law. Romans chapter 8. And I can read a lot of verses, but I don't want to do that because of time. Look at verse 10. I've mentioned this. And if Christ be in you, I didn't hear you. If Christ is in you, give me a wave offering here. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is talking to you and me. And if Christ be in you, if you are sure, give me another wave offering. Now watch this. The body is dead spiritually. Of course, your body is not dead now. It's talking spiritually. It can't be talking physically. Because of sin. That black thing. But, go give me the illustration. Oh, no. Keep with the scripture. We'll go to the illustration back. You can still remember the illustration. But the spirit is life because of that connection. That yellow zoe is flowing to your spirit. So your spirit has life. The body is dead spiritually, but the spirit has life. So you're in good shape. Hello, somebody. Verse 11. I love this. One of my favorites. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, I like the word also, he gave life to your mortal body. So the life in your spirit can overcome the sin in your flesh. Amen. Give Lord a clap offering. The life in yours can overcome it. Next verse. Therefore, notice not write to unbelievers. Brethren. We are not debtors to the flesh to live after the... In other words, I don't have to live after the flesh. Now, I could, but I don't have to. I've been given a way out. I've been given a way of escape. Next verse. For if ye, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, if you, of your free will, live after the flesh, say you will die. Don't let's dwell on that. It's negative, but it's there. But if you what? Through the Spirit, do what? Mortify. The word mortify means kill. So that's what I was preaching. So you kill that lust. It hasn't become sin yet. So kill it while it's a lust, and it will never become a sin. The question is, as remember from my cowboy days, how often do you shoot? That's the problem. Many Christians, they don't shoot often. They see the enemy is goes up, leave him alone, Joe. Kill the guy. If you don't kill him, he'll kill you. Throw down the gauntlet. No quarters taken, no quarters given. This is war. Any enemy that comes around, you shoot and you shoot to kill. You don't shoot to injure. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Am I the only Zion 21st century military mentality guy here? Turn to everybody and say, Pastor says shoot to kill, not to injure. Exactly. Thank you, Mommy. Mommy got it. Once he's dead, he won't come back again. Another one can come back, but when you kill that one too. By the time you finish, you will exterminate them. It's called perfection. Give us all a clap offering. Kill him! Kill him! Kill the flesh so he won't kill you. If you leave him alone, he will kill you. If you wound him, he will kill you. He will still rise up later. Kill him. If we can't say amen, say oh me. Jump to verse 26. And then I'm going to round it up. Close it up. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. This scripture we all know very well. You know, likewise, Spirit helps us. We don't know what Spirit helps, but Spirit Himself makes a station for us. Give it to me in New King James. No, New International Version. New International Version. That's my favorite here. In this particular context. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Have you heard the Spirit is weak, the flesh is weak? Okay, He's going to help you. Hello? The Spirit is weak, the flesh is weak. Agreed. Okay. But He's not going to help you in your weakness. So He doesn't have to be weak anymore. Amen. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. For we do not know what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with what? Groans that words cannot express. That is, it's not sheklamatorofer. That's not groaning. Nikushtoloma is tongues. That's not groaning. Sheklamatorofer is tongues. Groaning is. It's not words. That's why it says words, groans that words cannot express. There's a tightening of the stomach muscle, just like a woman when she's having a baby. If you remember that illustration of the spirit man, you see that inner man core there. So when it grows like that, that power from there goes up and pushes the power of God into the mind, the will, the emotion, push into the body, push it into the circumstances. If David had grown that day, he would not have gone to the roof at the wrong time. That's where prayer comes in. When you do a lot of praying in the spirit, you understand, even your circumstances will be so arranged that you will not see what you shouldn't see. You don't see what you shouldn't see, you won't do what you should not do. Give the Lord a clap offering. Go, Jari. Hold on, Jari, Rikuri. Hello, somebody. But it's when we don't pray that happens. There's another beautiful scripture here. I got to close. You know, and I'm 1, 2, and then I'm done. You know, it has helped me all my life. Abstain from all appearance of evil. He did not say abstain from evil. God knows what. That's why the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Bible. He didn't say abstain from evil. He said abstain from the appearance of evil. Let's go back to Bathsheba. By the time David tells Bathsheba to come into the bedroom, it's an appearance of evil. She should have abstained from it. Excuse her, I can't enter your bedroom. My husband is not at home. No lights are due in your bedroom. It's true. He said, what will I say I'm doing in your bedroom? Excuse me. Immediately, did everybody go malole? For that, a wise woman. It's true. If she had just confronted him, he would have dared it. It means that Bathsheba too had an issue. She wanted to become the wife of the king. Professor Tosumi said, "Oh, Jayoba." She wanted the trinket and all that. Ah! Foolish woman. In that context, she changed later. She wasn't a bad person, really. You know. But you look at all the wahala. Look at all the unnecessary. And her husband died. I don't know what God is going to do about Bathsheba in heaven. I think she went to heaven. I think she did. You know. But her judgment will be very interesting. It's one of the cases I like to attend. We're going to attend them in heaven. There'll be tribunal in heaven. They'll say, today they are doing this person. So everybody say, let's go and see. Let's see. Praise the Lord. If you know that you will behave yourself while you are here. Because the day they mention your name, tribunal, Pastor Lubi. True. Laughing but true. For we must all appear the bema seat of Christ to give account of the things we did in the body, whether they be good or bad. I live with that reality in my mind. And when I do make mistakes, I clean it instantly. Once I clean it with the blood, I go to God, I ask for mercy to travel over judgment, the whole thing. Money will go to show, you know. What deleted? You know, we're saying it jokingly, but it's true. It's true. It's true. God deleted the thing. You know, God deleted a lot of things from Abraham. I told you the story about Roland Bock. Angels on assignment. God took Roland Bock to heaven. So he now opened the archives. So he took Abraham's file out. So Roland Bock began to read Abraham's file. He said, God, I didn't see all the things that Abraham... God said, I don't record failure in heaven. Amen. God, give the Lord a clap offering. God will have mercy on us. And we need to have mercy on one another. When people fall, don't rejoice. Pray. Because what one member suffers, all the members suffer. It's a body thing. A man who is influence of thousands of people. Can imagine how many people is going to affect. Satan knows what he's doing. Smite the shepherd. Call on Shanua. How many people agree that this message was necessary this afternoon? I had another message, a very nice message, but not for this afternoon. So, and the scripture is this. I went back to Bathsheba. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I'll give the example of Bathsheba, which is a negative example. Let me give you a positive example. His name is Joseph. Potiphar's wife. That woman. So this thing is only men. You know, I was me too. Men too, men too. It's true. It's not only women. It's men too. We too, we too. We have our own. Men too, men too. Poor boy. 17, 18, 19, 20. This woman, the madam of the house. She probably was an attractive woman. Probably. I'm not saying she was, but I'm sure. She just kept disturbing this boy. The boy said, you don't understand. My master trusts me with everything. How can I sin against God? But she didn't stop her. Consider, you know, that's even enough to wear down a person that has good intentions. But he did two wise things. He never stayed alone with her. It's in Genesis. He says he will not stay where. When if he enters the room, Madame comes. Amen.
enters kitchen, Madame to show up.
He refused to lie with her or be with her. That's what the scripture says. I think it's verse 9, 10 or 11. He refused to lie with her or be with her. So maybe concentrating on the lie without be. Abstain from the appearance of evil.
And when she finally, God grabbed him on the, poor boy, he left his coat and fled. He didn't bind the devil. Brethren, wisdom. That's not the time to start speaking in tongues. I'm trying to bind the devil. Just run. Flee. That's exactly what the Bible says. Flee. Because if he stayed there long enough, she could have worn him down. He ran. Let's have as much sense. I learned this from Gordon Lindsay and Billy Graham. Don't stay alone in a room with a woman who is not your wife. It's a very simple rule. It will help you. It will deliver you. There's nothing spiritual about that one. Just don't do it. Don't just common sense. Don't stay in a room alone with a woman who is not your wife. If you're talking to a girl who is not your wife, you know, be in an open place. Even if you want to say something private. You can be talking, I can be talking to Brother Clem here. The people there, they're not hearing us, but they are seeing us. Mommy has brought a new revelation, though. Mommy gave revelation to her. Well, he don't look into her eyes. Ah! I think there's a spiritual thing in that one. You know, the eyes, watch this. Honey, you're right. The eyes are the gates of the soul. Is it in scripture? Say, let not take her with your eyelids. Don't look into eyes. Kill on what you have. Please give me that scripture. Mommy has got revelation. Proverbs 7:25. You know, it's good for us to be laughing about this thing. You know, so that you know God is saving our souls. You got some young men here, young women here, old men here, old women here. It's not only to the young and to the old. When you want, you don't remember Pastor Luby's voice. Pastor's like, we're not alone in the room. Thank you, darling. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eye. Give mommy a clap offering. Correct revelation. Correct. It means that if you look, she can take you. I think be alone. So, Bojukurumbe, are you listening to me? Just be. The Message Bible. Do not lustfully fantasize on her beauty, neither be taken by her bedroom. So there's a bedroom eye. This is the room, you go. So there's a different eye for the kitchen. There's a the devil. Ha! Let not your heart desire go after her fair body. Let not her eyes take you prison. Mommy, you hit it all. Emi Omo, I just got a new revelation today. So I'm going to be careful whose eyes I look into now. Only mommy. What the Bible tells us is very simple. Use common sense. Common, simple, common sense. Appearance of evil. Don't be in isolated places with a woman who is not your wife, in the bedroom or any other isolated place.
keep things open. When you want to talk, talk in an open place. Pastors, don't counsel women alone in your office. Simple. I don't do it. Never done it. Either I call my wife or if it's a pastor Boyega or something, I say, sit down, oh yeah, talk.
You know, we're laughing. It's a serious matter. Even if nothing happened and she said something happened, who is going to investigate? That's already destroyed you. Even if finally you are exonerated, you understand the scandal and the news, and you know how people are. Pastor Lupe, I used my name just to, you know. But seriously, so why put yourself in a situation where you can become at the mercy of a liar? I'll repeat it. Why put yourself in a situation where you can become at the mercy of a liar? Because you become he said or she said. But if the situation never occurred, she can never say she said. That's what the Bible is teaching us. Now I got to close. Now, this is what you do. In fact, God was showing me some of this myself personally, and he said, go and share with the people. You pray the Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Early in the morning. You know, the corporate prayer. Once a week, try and find time where you pray for yourself. This groaning and all of this. So, circumstances are arranged in the Spirit. It's helped me. I've been a Christian since I was 20 years old. And I got serious with God when I was in England. You know, like hell. Yeah, well, you know, in England, the thing is all over the road. You could do anything. But God helped me. Because I allowed God to help me. I prayed 1 hour in tongues every day. I had temptations, too. Serious ones. Serious ones. But these little laws, I just put them into. I pray in the Spirit. You know, some of the things I'm going to share now, I didn't even know them then. You know, but I at least praying in tongues, I knew that one. Then sensible, I knew that one. One time, one girl came to visit me in my hostel. I said, they phoned from downstairs because it was a postgraduate hall. I had my room to myself. You know, and they called from the intercom. XYZ is downstairs, says she wants to see you. I was a new Christian then, but the Holy Ghost is working. He said, don't let her come up. I said, tell her not to come up. She should stay in the reception. So I went downstairs in the lift, met her in the reception. I came to say hi. Fine, let's go to McDonald's. It was there's one, I forgot the name of the thing. It's like McDonald's anyway. Wimpy! Exactly, Wimpy Bar. So we went to Wimpy Bar. Human beings were around, okay. We talked, we gisted, you know, told her, you know, and she went and I went, no problem. Common sense. Common sense. Young men, say it. Young women, say it. Old men, say it. Old women, say it. Simple rules like that, you know. Now, you pray in the Spirit, you know, then once every 6 hours, you know, Father, I confess my sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. I pray in the Spirit just to enforce the kingdom over my life during these next 6 hours. In between the 6 hours, when anything happens, use your thoughts. Imagine a thought comes to your mind about a woman or a man or whatever. You know, just say, Lord, mercy. You know, I love righteousness. I hate iniquity. In his presence, there's fullness of joy, and there are pleasures forevermore. You know, I crucify that lust in Jesus' name. Not even with your mind, with your thoughts. I'm going to close. All the things Jesus did in the wilderness, it was in the thoughts. Man shall not live by bread. It was at the thought. It was not with the mouth. Because the devil came to him and said, but how does the Satan talk?
Satan didn't come in the, he didn't come like this, like something, and say to him, he was in his thoughts. And how did he reply him? In his thoughts. Man shall not live. That's why you need to know the word of God. It's a sword of the Spirit. So ask, watch the steps. It's revelation knowledge. Mercy first. It is not of him that runneth. Don't do this. By the mercies of God, present your body a living. Notice the word mercies is in plural. So in one day, you may need to ask for mercy 100 times. Anytime any temptation comes to your mind, the first thing is, Lord, please have mercy. Mercy will give you three things. It'll give you the blood of Jesus. The Bible says so. You know, it says, I will be merciful to all their unrighteousness. It will give you the life of God, looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. So, and because you've prayed in tongues and you've made confession earlier, there's power already in the air. Once you just ask for mercy and you direct your thoughts, it will push that nonsense away. Are you listening to me? So every time you are faced with a temptation, overcoming temptation is the title of this message. Ask God in your heart. Even if you haven't even done the praying in the Spirit much, and this is the advantage you have of Good Morning Jesus, because of the corporate anointing. Do you understand? There will be a certain amount of power that will be available to you, even though you haven't done some things. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do what you should do. But it's available. Use it! Use it. Ask for mercy. Say, Lord, mercy on me. Then, if any scripture you can remember, one scripture that is so beautiful, I love righteousness and hate iniquity. Say it over. And if you need to say it 100 times a day, say it. You know what's going to do? It's going to build a stronghold of righteousness in your mind. So when Satan's temptations come, you will see beyond the temptation and you will see the death. And I hate iniquity. So you turn away from it. You won't see a beautiful woman. You will see iniquity. Because your mind and your tongue have been reprogrammed. Say it often. I love righteousness. And everybody say it. You didn't say it like somebody who is serious. Say it. Then say this one. I crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts, particularly sexual lusts. I crucify you in Jesus' name. So ask for mercy. So they say, I love righteousness and hate iniquity. They say, I crucify this. The thing will die. And you will live. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. This message was so time. God told me this morning. He said, go and preach it now. Because there's a whole, they were living in perilous times. The kind of thoughts Satan is pinging to people's minds, it will amaze you. Even pastors. And I correct that, especially pastors. We are the target. If you can get one pastor, he can get 100,000 people. Look at what happened with Jimmy Swagger. Look at what happened with Jim Baker. So many people's lives were ruined. Because they saw them as icons. And they were. And it wasn't that they were bad men. They preached the gospel. They did the work of God. But they were careless. We must not be careless. We must not. That diligence is at the thought level. And for every koshele mega, I must say this. Checking of renengara da fre. Ha! Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And bringing into captivity some thoughts. I've learned and I'm learning it and I practice it. I do not let any negative thought not get a reply. Because it's like seeing an enemy and not shooting him. When the once that thought comes, I must reply you. I reply every thought. So and thank God for mercy. Just say, mercy, Lord. I crucify that lust. Or I love righteousness and hate iniquity. Satan is a coward. I discovered that after some time he said, and he departed from him for a season.
Let's talk to God. He will depart. Once he knows you don't have time for nonsense, and you are replying him, he will depart from you. Then go and look for some silly Christian down the road. God forbid. God have mercy on me. Some Christian down the road who he can bully. Don't let him bully you. I love you, Lord.
Greater than anything. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
More than my heart can sing.
I love you, Lord. Simple prayer. You've heard what I've taught you by the grace and the mercy of God. It's revelation knowledge. The law of the Spirit of life, the blood, the word, and the Spirit has set you free. You're free. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to be overcome by temptation. Not only sex, in any other area. It works in every area. Covetousness, rebuke it. Greed, rebuke it. Envy, rebuke it. It doesn't matter. It's all lost. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come this afternoon, reminding me, instructing me, that I can and I must continually overcome temptation. I thank you. Your word says you will not allow me
to be tempted above what I'm able to bear. But with the temptation, you will make a way of escape that I may be able to bear it. And by watching and praying always with tongues, groanings, with confession, and also with my thoughts, I will find the way of escape and I will overcome every temptation that the enemy will bring. Father, I trust you for your mercies. Mercy not to be destroyed. Mercy not to faint or to be discouraged. Mercy to be faithful. Mercy to triumph over every temptation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nekatolomoshan. Lipriketofrenesk. Zofridia. Loprinengatushkofredes. Lombridigadolos. Lombridigalamatolamashalikofre. Ramashtufredesk. Lombridia. Yokotos. Zephria. Lombridilia. Yayaho. Neyo. Silioko. Jelikakaranantufrenes. Longara glamatolo mashalo boro, lombra glamatolo mashal, lombri di vedi sto fresh. Togo glamatolo masto fresh, lombra glamatolo masto fresh, lombra glamatolo fresh, lombra glamatolo fresh, zufri, lombra glamatolo masto fresh, lombri glamatolo masto fresh, shofri do fresh, lombra glamatolo masto fresh, lombri glamato, lombra glamatolo fresh, tolo masto anstehia, yikitu fresh, lombra dele, no fridis, no fridis, yikitu fresh, lombri dele, no fridis, lombri dele, no fridis, tolo mara, tu fridis, tolo mashala, tu fridis. In Jesus' name. As we're praying, a word came to me. I've never thought of it like this before. I would say groaning, tongues, confession, thoughts. How many levels? Four. Father, young man, little child, baby. We're all supposed to do all four, don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is that, you know, for the younger ones, even if you can't groan, even if you can't pray, people are praying for you. But you can think. The young Christian, or not even young, just weak. You may be a strong person normally, but you may just be in a position of weakness at that time. Remember. Don't say, the devil come and say, you know you haven't prayed though. You can't do anything. It's a lie. Say, I'm asking for mercy. Just say, mercy, Lord. Help me. I love righteousness. I hate. So, and you will find God's mercy lift you out. Then quickly go and pray. Amen. Mommy, come.
It's so important to have a good relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Holy Spirit is so important. He's the one who will bring you into remembrance of all things. He's the one that will lead us into all truth. He's the one that will show you the end from the beginning. Even when the woman hasn't rolled her eyes yet, he'll be the one who will tell you that one will roll her eyes or move. Don't say you are bold. Don't go near them. You accept a woman does not want a man. You are a dead dog. I'm a woman, I know.
I just got a word of wisdom. What my wife said is true. You know why? Before I got born again, and even after I got born again, it was a saying amongst us boys. Pastor G, if a girl wants you, you're finished. If she says, that man, I'm targeting him. I feel Jesus. So let the Holy Spirit help us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell them, so you watch and pray always and abstain from all appearances of evil. God bless you.